Welcome everyone to our worship service this Lord's Day. Welcome those in the church building and here in the church hall, and hello to those who will be listening later on. This is our January communion services today, communion service now at 12 noon, and then this evening the Thanksgiving service at 7:30, and then also in the evening the prayer meeting in the church hall at 7:10. Tuesday evening this week, there's a missionary meeting. Mr. Phil Dunn of European Mission Fellowship is coming to speak on that work. That's in the church hall at 8:00 on Tuesday evening. Then the senior CY group meets on Friday evening at 8:00, finishing at 9:30. Next Lord's Day, then Sabbath school classes at 11:00. Worship services at 12 noon and 7:30, and the evening prayer time at 7:10. At our session meeting, we agreed on a reallocation of families among the elders. We have 6 elders that are presently able to be active, and the families of the congregation have been divided among those 6 elders. So for some folk, that involves a change in who your elder is. For other people, it'll still be the same as it was before. And we don't plan at the minute to be doing session pastoral visitation where a minister and your elder would be visiting in homes. But I intend to do pastoral visits myself, and I'll be arranging those. And if you would like me to visit sooner rather than later, you can put in a request, and I will comply with whatever you would like me to do in terms of wearing a mask or being in terms of just the arrangements for visiting. I do regular lateral flow tests, and I'll not be doing any visiting if I have symptoms that would be doubtful, and so. That's the plan of action. For now, I'm going to be doing visits, so that limits the number of folk that will be coming into your house. And if you want your elder to visit, you can speak to your elder. So the new list is on the for those in the church building, it's on the notice board on the way in, and for those in the church hall, it's on the table that you pass on the way in. So you can have a look at that, and it'll be around for the next while. There's the announcement again about the Go Relief team working in Ballenan RP Church Hall. There's still 2 weekends of that work to go in January. Camp reunion, the original arrangements have been changed for most of the camps. Senior camp's still the same date, 12th of February, but the others have been changed. There are 3 meeting on the weekend of the Friday the 25th, Saturday the 26th. So there's a 1 overnight for Girls Discovery, Girls Adventure, and Boys Adventure. And then the Boys Discovery, they're meeting the following weekend, the 4th, the 5th of March. That's Friday, Saturday. And the application forms for these events are on the RP Church website. And the forms are due to be returned to the leader of the particular camp by the 5th of February. Then, a few months away, Genevans Choir from Geneva College, the RP University in the States in Pennsylvania, they plan to be on tour again this year from the 18th to the 24th of May. Help is being looked for in terms of providing overnight accommodation in homes. 3 dates there, the 18th, the 19th, and the 20th of May. So if anyone can help with accommodating students overnight, there'll not be anything more to it than probably bed and breakfast. They'll be out and about during the days. That's the 18th, 19th, and 20th of May. You can think about that, and I'll have something more in the announcements next week, but David and Jean Lockridge are coordinating this, and they're looking by the end of January to have definite offers of help, that so that they know that it is feasible to host this. Cleaning Rota for this new week, Jennifer Kennedy is next up on the cleaning Rota. And on the printed announcement sheet this week, I've put down several points of church news for prayer in regard to our licentiates that have received calls, and also other matters there, just for you, for information and for prayer. So those are the announcements then for the week. And with it being communion today, and session not having met as such, I need to constitute session prior to the observance of the Lord's Supper. And so, in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, I declare the Court of Session to be now duly constituted. We come to worship God today. We commence our worship in prayer. And so, if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Lord and Father, we draw near to you now in worship, and we ask, O Lord, that as we come before you, that we will do so mindful that we come to you as sinners, that we come to you as those who are flawed, those who have sinned against you, and that in terms of our relationship with you, there is a broken relationship which we are not able to fix ourselves. But we give thanks, O Lord, for what we considered about the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who brings about reconciliation. And we thank you for all that we receive in and through the work of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Help us today as we remember our complete dependence upon him, as we think on what he has accomplished for us. We pray, O Lord, that by the work of your Spirit, you will reinforce your word in our hearts, that we will believe these things, that we will know that these things are all important. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near to us by your Holy Spirit, that this gathering together today would be one in which we would honor you and experience the blessing that you intend in giving the Lord's Supper to your people. Lord, hear us in our prayers now. We ask all in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, let us turn to God's Word to read from Colossians chapter 1. Reading part of Colossians chapter 1. It's page 1045 in our Pew Bible. And so we read from verse 9 through to verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 and reading from verse 9. Let us hear the Word of God. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And we end our scripture reading there at verse 23 of Colossians chapter 1. Well, last Lord's Day, as we commenced our communion season services, we began to look at our theme for this communion season, which is reconciled in Christ. And at our preparation service, I spoke from Colossians 1, verse 21, and spoke from that verse about reconciliation needed. And within that sermon, I had mentioned the divorce of the prominent politician Michael Gove and his then wife Sarah Vine. And the very next morning, Michael Gove was in the headlines because he got stuck in a lift at the BBC for over half an hour. He was stuck there in that lift, and he couldn't get up, and he couldn't get down, and he couldn't get anywhere. Well, I am going to mention a public figure in this sermon today, and I don't know if he's going to be in the news tomorrow morning. There is a reason why he might be, but I think it might be a wee bit beyond tomorrow before he again comes into the public eye. But we saw last Lord's Day why reconciliation is needed between ourselves and God. And it is because of our sin. We, as verse 21 tells us, we are alienated from him. We are enemies of him. And our wicked works are something that God cannot accept. And we need to be reconciled to God. And that's not something that we can bring about ourselves. But Jesus can do it. And the work of reconciliation between sinners and God is entirely the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21 says at the end of it, yet now he has reconciled. Jesus is the one who reconciles God to us and who reconciles us to God. And unless Jesus does this for us, it will never be done. There will be no peace with God unless it comes through the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. So we have thought about reconciliation needed. And I want today to move on to verse 22 and to speak on this verse under the heading of reconciliation accomplished. And as we think of the reconciliation that Christ has accomplished, I want to consider how he has accomplished this reconciliation, and also what a great accomplishment it is. So thinking first of all then, in this communion sermon, about how Jesus reconciles. Paul says in verse 21, and you who once were alienated, yet now he, that's Jesus, has reconciled. And then in verse 22, he tells us how Jesus did that reconciliation. He says, in the body of his flesh through death. Jesus brings about reconciliation in the body of his flesh through death. Now here comes the public figure that I want to mention. Many of you will know who this man was. Some of you who are younger will maybe not know who this man was. But the man I'm going to mention is Senator George Mitchell. Many of you will know who Senator George Mitchell was. An important figure in the Northern Ireland peace process. And when he agreed as an American politician to come across here and get involved in the peace process, he knew it was a big job that he was taking on. He knew it was not an easy job that he was taking on. He knew it was something that would demand a great deal of his time and his energy. He knew that in coming to Northern Ireland, he was coming to work with politicians whose habit was to say no. And that wouldn't get anywhere, and he knew that's what he was getting himself into. He probably expected that there would be many setbacks in any kind of process that he was able to establish. And he probably expected that there would be a personal price for him to pay. And when he took on that role, he didn't know if he would succeed or if he would fail. But he did expect to walk away alive. It was not so for the Lord Jesus Christ in his work of reconciliation. The reconciliation that Jesus accomplished was one that was brought about in the body of his flesh through death. That's how Jesus reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death. The cost of reconciliation between sinners and God is paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no sharing of that cost. He alone paid it in full. And the cost was one that he experienced in his own body, in his own flesh. I don't know that Senator Mitchell experienced any adverse health effects as a consequence of his involvement in the Northern Ireland peace process. He is still alive today. He's 88 years old. He does have low-grade prostate cancer, diagnosed in 2007. And more recently, he was diagnosed with leukemia in 2020. But Senator George Mitchell is still with us. He is still alive. With the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't a matter of his health being affected by his reconciling work. No, for the Lord Jesus, that required his death. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus took the wages of the sins of his people upon himself. And the only way that sinners can be reconciled to God is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we remember his death today. Our reconciliation with God depends entirely upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. To accomplish reconciliation, Jesus had to die. That was the costly price of salvation for sinners. And it is only through that death of our Lord Jesus that you and I can be brought from that state of alienation in verse 21 into the state of reconciliation in verse 22. Jesus took upon himself the sins of his people. And Jesus endured the punishment due for those sins. And Jesus is the one who turns away the wrath of God, which hangs over us. And because of the death of the Lord Jesus, God is no longer offended by those who are in Christ. God is no longer estranged from us. He's no longer a far-off God who keeps his distance. But through Christ's reconciling work, we are accepted in Christ. God is no longer at enmity with us. Jesus reconciles through his death, in the body of his flesh, through death. That's how he accomplishes reconciliation. Now, of course, in any kind of political reconciliation, it takes two sides to sign up to a peace treaty, or whatever number of sides might be involved in the conflict. And so, as well as God being reconciled to sinners, sinners need to be reconciled to God. And that is also the doing of the Lord Jesus. Because when he opens our hearts to believe in him, he puts a new spirit within us. He gives us a new attitude, a new outlook, and that's all part of our new identity in Christ. And we move from being those who resent God to being those who love God. And Jesus reconciles us to God just as he reconciles God to us. For his peace efforts in Northern Ireland, George Mitchell was honored and recognized in various different ways in various different places. He was honored within his own nation of United States. And on the 4th of July, 1998, he was awarded the prestigious Liberty Medal. And in his acceptance speech, he said the following. He said, "I believe there's no such thing as a conflict that can't be ended. They're created and sustained by human beings. They can be ended by human beings. No matter how ancient the conflict, no matter how hurtful, peace can prevail." And in those words, George Mitchell was both right and also utterly wrong. He's right that it is mere human beings who are the cause of conflicts, but he's wrong in saying that we can always solve those conflicts. The conflict between ourselves and God is not one that can be ended by any mere human being. The conflict between God and us can only be ended by a divine being, by God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a man, and for whom the price for ending the conflict was his own death. It was in the body of his flesh through death. That is how Jesus accomplished reconciliation. And so today, as we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember that we depend utterly upon the death of Jesus Christ the Lord. That is our only hope of peace. That is our only confidence. It's all because of what he has done. That's the first thing to consider, is how Jesus reconciles. It's through his death. The second thing that I wanted to speak about in this sermon is about a great accomplishment. Thinking about reconciliation, accomplished. And this is a great accomplishment. This is no small thing that Jesus has achieved. It brings us from what we are in verse 21, alienated, enemies of God, and full of wicked works. And instead, it brings us to be what is described in verse 22, those who are holy, blameless, and above reproach. And the contrast between those two verses is truly striking. And it demonstrates the completeness, the thoroughness of Christ's reconciling work. When Paul says that the work of Jesus is to present you holy and so on, he's referring to something that lies in the future. It is on the day of judgment that Christ will present the people that he has saved, and all these things will be fully true of us on that day. At this present moment, there is no Christian on earth who can be fully described as what is here in verse 22. We are not presently sinless. We don't come to the Lord's Supper thinking that we are free from sin. But we come because of Christ's reconciling work. And because of his reconciling work, the verdict of God is already settled. And if we are in Christ, then there is no condemnation, and there will be no condemnation for us. But we will be declared to be holy and blameless and above reproach. And as sinners, we come to the Lord's Supper. We examine ourselves and we see ourselves as being sinners. And so we need to be reminded of how we are in Christ. And in him, we are holy. In him, we will be presented as holy. And the scriptures tell us that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Well, in Christ, we have the holiness that God demands. In Christ, we are cleansed from all sin and entirely separated unto God himself. In Christ, we are holy. And by Christ's reconciling work, verse 22 tells us that we are also presented as blameless or faultless. In the Old Testament, a sacrifice had to be without blemish. And this is how we are in Christ. We are without blemish. Now, we're not like that at present. But we will be when the Lord is finished with us. On the judgment day, we will be presented as blameless. There'll be nothing unseemly about us to attract the wrath of God in any way at all. Blameless. And then we're also told that by Christ's reconciling work, we are presented as those who are above reproach. We're not going to be borderline pass cases. We will be clearly, evidently, above and beyond reproach. No one will question the verdict of God upon those whom Jesus Christ presents as above reproach. There'll be no VAR reviews to see, has the referee got it right? Above reproach. And these things that we're told here about being holy, blameless, and above reproach, these all convey to us the thoroughness of the reconciling work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one who is half reconciled. There's no one who is just about reconciled. All whom Christ reconciles to God are presented as holy, as blameless, as above reproach. Wouldn't our Prime Minister love to have that verdict passed upon him as he awaits the outcome of the finding by Sue Gray and all the goings on at Downing Street? Wouldn't he love to hear that he is shown to be holy and blameless and above reproach? Well, that's how we are in Christ. And so we're encouraged here to look at this accomplished work of reconciliation on the part of the Lord Jesus. So full a work of reconciling does the Lord Jesus do that we are completely acceptable to God. We're even well-pleasing to God. And yet, so full a work of reconciling does the Lord Jesus do that he himself is dead upon a cross. We are presented holy, blameless, above reproach, and he is Christ crucified. And in this saving work of our Lord Jesus, we see reconciliation accomplished. We see reconciliation accomplished thoroughly, but we see it at such a great cost to our Lord Jesus himself. For Senator George Mitchell, for his work as the U.S. Special Envoy for Northern Ireland, and also in his role in the Good Friday Agreement, there were various awards and honors. There was a nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize, and he was invested as an honorary knight, Grand Cross of the Order of the British Empire. And for Jesus, there was a cross. But for Jesus, there was exaltation beyond that to the very highest place. And he has received the name and the rule that shall endure forever. Others will be talked about for a while, but the crucified Lord will be talked about forever. Political reconciliation is a very fragile thing. I don't think George Mitchell was foolish enough to leave his role in Northern Ireland or a later role that he had in the Middle East and think to himself, well, that's that sorted now. But the spiritual work of reconciliation, which the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes, that's a different thing. Because Jesus accomplished in full all that he set out to do. He paid the full price, and he accomplished a full and lasting reconciliation. And there is nothing fragile about what our Lord Jesus has accomplished. All who trust in Jesus Christ have a sure and certain hope of full acceptance with God. In the work of Jesus Christ, we see reconciliation accomplished. He has done it. It is finished. And so we rejoice, and so we remember his death and all that accomplished with great thanksgiving. Amen. Now we're going to speak to God in prayer, and if you're able, if you please stand now as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of the Scriptures. We thank you for every way in which you remind us of all that we owe to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we see in your word that we owe our reconciliation to you entirely to him, that he is the one who has reconciled. And we praise you for that great work that he has done. And we thank you that our Lord continues to look with favor upon his church, upon his people here on earth. We give thanks, Lord, for these days. We thank you for congregations that have been meeting in recent times, for calls that have been issued. We pray for John Coulter and for Paul Wallace as they consider the calls that have already come their way. We pray, Lord, for the new ministry due to begin very soon in the Newton Ards congregation. We pray for the service of installation coming up on Friday evening for David Sutherland. And we pray, Lord, that you would abundantly bless him there in his work in Newton Ards. Father, we give thanks for your provision of new elders for the congregation of Ballyclabber. And we pray for the four men that are due to be ordained and installed there this evening. And we pray that that will prove to be a great blessing to that congregation. You help those men as they enter into that work, that those who are already serving as elders will be able to help them. And we pray, O Lord, for your good work in that congregation of your people. Father, we remember our young folk in these days in a period of exams, and we ask that you will help them, O Lord. We pray that you'll give the energy they need in their revision and in sitting exams. And Lord, we pray that you will be with our young folk at university and at school. Help them, O Lord, to learn the things that are set before them. Help them to be able to take things into their memories. And we pray, O Lord, that you will help them in their time of education to make the most of this time. We pray that you will open up the way before them, the way that you would have them go in life. And help them, O Lord, in choices that they need to make as to what direction they'll go in and what subjects they'll pick and all of these things. And Lord, we pray that you will lead them forward a step at a time, and may they always know, O Lord, that you're the one who is near to them. We give thanks, O Lord, for the surgery that Linda Sharp had last week. We thank you that went ahead without any delay. We thank you, Lord, that it went well, and we pray for Linda's recovery after that. And we pray for Graham as he looks after her. We thank you that she's just spent a short time in hospital after the surgery, and we pray for a good ongoing recovery. We pray, Lord, for others who are not able to be out and about now, and we ask, Lord, for your help for those who are in their own homes. And we pray, Lord, for your comfort and help and encouragement in that. We pray for some who are awaiting surgery, and we pray, Lord, that surgery will come around soon, and that you will sustain them in the intervening time, that they will be able to manage with things as they are. Lord, we pray for others for whom there is no surgery on offer at present, no particular medication that is held out as going to make a great difference. Lord, we pray for your help for those who have so much to contend with. And Lord, we pray that your comfort and your help will be particularly felt by those. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon us as we observe the Lord's Supper today, and we pray that we will remember all that we owe to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that we will be greatly blessed as we do so. Lord, hear our prayers and do your good work among us for your own praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. As we come today to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we remember those words in the Scriptures that exhort us to examine ourselves in so doing. 1 Corinthians 11 at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so we are reminded that the Lord's Supper is an expression of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking to him as the source of our reconciliation with God. We see in the death of Jesus all that we need to bring us into that right relationship with God. And that is our hope, and that is our confidence. And as a session, we invite to the Lord's table those who are communicant members in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, those who are adherents within this congregation who have met previously with session and are invited to take communion. And as we think further on this great theme of reconciled in Christ, I want to speak a little bit further about a few words that we find in Colossians 1 at verse 20. And after this, I will read the terms of membership. Colossians 1 at the end of verse 20 is the particular focus of my words now. It says there about Jesus, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We've been thinking about George Mitchell, the role that he played in the Northern Ireland peace process. More importantly, we've been thinking about the reconciling work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words at the end of verse 20 of Colossians 1, we're told that Jesus made peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross. And these words speak to us of the reality of his death by crucifixion. Jesus was nailed to a cross. He died upon that cross. And through that death, he made peace. He made peace. Those who were involved in the Northern Ireland peace process back in the late 1990s, they were trying to find a way towards a peaceful resolution of long-standing conflict. And the agreement that they came to was one that everyone would acknowledge that in some measure it involved the setting aside of justice. In one way or another, justice was set aside, a compromise was made to get round some of the obstacles. Now, that's not what happened at the cross. Jesus did not enter into a peace process. Jesus actually made peace. Jesus didn't set aside justice, but rather he was the one whose blood was shed and who endured death as a result of God's justice being administered. And Jesus was punished by death for the sins of many people. Jesus acted as the sin bearer for others. Jesus absorbed the wrath of God against sin. And he was treated as an enemy of God. And he died in the place of others as a substitute. And through that death of his, he made peace with God for all of those whose sins he bore. He made peace. And today, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can enjoy that peace that Jesus has made. We know our own sin. We know our sins. But we know that those sins no longer alienate us from God. God no longer looks upon us in condemnation, because Jesus has made peace with God for us. And therefore we remember his death with great thankfulness. We don't believe in a peace process between ourselves and God. We don't believe that somehow we're working our way into God's good books and we can find something that works. But rather we believe that Jesus, our Savior, that Jesus, our reconciler, that he made peace through the blood of his cross. It was his cross. It was his blood. It was him that made peace for us. And so to him be the credit, to him be the recognition, and to him be the praise. He made peace through the blood of his cross. And we enter into that peace. We accept it. It's his doing, it's his work, and it's perfect. And therefore, we're holy, we're blameless, and we are above reproach. And as we come to the Lord's table, we renew our vows of membership. And they are as follows. I accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only Redeemer of men, supreme in church and state, and in dependence on divine grace, I take him as my Savior and Lord. I promise by divine grace to show a teachable and submissive spirit to the teaching of Holy Scripture as set forth in the testimony of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. And also I promise that by the help of the Holy Spirit, I will endeavor to live a life consistent with my profession. We come to the administration of the sacrament, and as we have done on the last number of occasions, we're using the two-in-one little disposable cups for our communion. I was looking at my diary for this time last year, and I saw this time last year we weren't meeting at all. It was the first of three Sabbath days where we didn't gather at all. So we're thankful that today we are meeting, and that today we come together for the Lord's Supper. And so the elders will now distribute the little two-in-one cups, and in the hall here, Michael will do those on my right, and William will do those on my left. And in the church building, Harold will be distributing the elements, and so we'll give the elders a little bit of time to distribute. And then if you just hold what you're given and wait until I stand again to lead us through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Well, I hope your fingers are able to remove the little plastic off the top of the cup, a little piece of bread then in below. First Corinthians 11, verse 23, we read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We come to the Lord's Supper because the Lord Jesus has given us this sacrament. It is that which he gave to his church, and he told us that we are to do this in remembrance of him, and that is our warrant for why we observe the Lord's Supper. And Jesus took the bread, and he broke the bread, he gave thanks, and let us give thanks then for the bread. Lord in heaven, we praise you for what you have given to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and we thank you that it is something that speaks to us about what you gave to us in the Lord himself. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what we've seen of him as being the one who had to bring about that work of reconciliation between God and sinners. And we rejoice that Jesus was willing to pay the price, that he was willing to have his body broken in order that that relationship might be healed. And Lord, we thank you that there is peace with God through the breaking of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for how it was in his own flesh, it was in his own body, that it was in his own death that he brought about that reconciliation. So, Lord, we return thanks for the bread that reminds us of our Savior. And we praise you for all that he is to us. Amen. The Lord Jesus took the bread, and he broke the bread, and he was himself shortly to be broken for us. Well, let us then eat together as we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. As well as the bread, Jesus also gave the cup, and so the little metal foil comes off the top of the cup. And if you get that ready. We're told in 1 Corinthians 11, 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And let us give thanks now for the cup. Our gracious Lord, we praise you for this fellowship cup. We thank you, Lord, for all that it represents unto us. We thank you for the reminder of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that that blood was indeed shed upon the cross. that you did not spare your own Son, but you gave him up for all your people. And we praise you for that. We thank you for that substitute who died in the place of sinners, the one who took upon himself the sins of others, and the one who was punished fully for those sins. And Lord, we praise you for that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the peace that comes to us through the shed blood of Christ. His blood was shed even unto death. We return thanks, O Lord, for the cup that Christ took on our behalf. And we thank you for this cup that we have now that reminds us of all he has done for us. We praise you, O Lord, for it. In his name, amen. Well, the Lord Jesus took the cup, and let us now drink together. We join again in prayer. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, we come to you in this sacrament today, and we pray that you will help us, O Lord, to remember in it that we are remembering what has been done for us. We thank you, Lord, that our reconciliation is something accomplished by the Lord Jesus, and we pray that you'll help us to remember what it cost him, and to remember just what he has accomplished for us. Lord, we rejoice in all the blessings that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that in him we are holy, and that in him we are blameless and above reproach. And we thank you that that is how we will be presented, and that that is how we will be forever. And we acknowledge that that is his doing, and it is wonderful in our eyes. We thank you that there is peace with God through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord, that we will not have any other hope, that we will not seek our own way of peace, but, O Lord, that we will accept that there is this one way and no other. We pray that the Lord Jesus will mean more and more to us, that as we add to our sins, the more we will appreciate the Savior that we have. And so we give thanks for this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and how it reminds us of the necessity of the death of our Savior. And we thank you that he has died, but that he has risen, and that he is exalted. And so we look to him today, and we praise you for the honor that has been conferred upon the crucified Savior, upon the one who accomplished reconciliation. In his name we pray. Amen. Now we sing to God's praise from Psalm 116. We sing stanzas 4 through to 9 of this psalm. The tune is Kilmarnock, number 106. Psalm 116 at stanza 4. The Lord is gracious and is just. Our God does mercy show. The Lord preserves the simple ones. He saved me when brought low. Return my soul now to your rest, because the Lord has been so good to you. For you indeed, my soul from death set free. We look to the Lord as the one who saves us, the one who sets our soul free from death. And in stanza 8, psalmist asks the question, in the light of all that God has done, he says, what will I to the Lord repay for these his blessings all? And he says, salvation's cup I will lift up, and on the Lord's name call. The vows which to the Lord I made, I certainly will pay in presence of his people all. May it be so, I pray. And so he, his desire is to lift up this cup of salvation freely given in the Lord, and to strive to live in the light of that salvation, and to honor the Lord, his Savior, in his life. We sing from 4 through to 9 to the tune Kilmarnock, 106, remaining seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
The Lord is gracious and is just, our God does mercy show. The Lord preserves the simple ones, he saved me when brought low. Return my soul now to your rest, because the Lord has been so good to you, for you indeed my soul from death set free. My eyes from tears you freed, my feet from stumbling you did free. I'll walk before the Lord as long as I alive will be. I trusted even when I said, I great affliction bear. When I was close, dismay, I said, that all men liars were. What will I to the Lord repay for these his blessings all? Salvation's cup I will lift up and on the Lord's name call. The vows which to the Lord I made, I certainly will pay. In presence of his people all, may it be so, I pray.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.